Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Pastor Peter had been talking to all of you about rediscovering church. Am I right? Yes? Okay, yes is like that, huh? No is like that. So when I ask questions, then just let me know that you're responding, okay? So it's true, right? So Pastor Peter had been talking to you about church, about rediscovering church, and I just want to pick up from there, from what he's been sharing, and just to provide my perspective as well, just bringing a fresh word as well. I hope that will encourage you. If I'm not wrong too, he's been telling you that you are the church, correct or not? You are the church, and I saw some of the exciting activities you're going to have, including being decentralized in 10 different locations in Singapore. So exciting. So exciting to have church. Check, 1, 2. Okay. So exciting to have church in a different place for a change. And I see the team who is going to Taiwan, and that's amazing. So I think that more and more, I hope that all of us are able to grasp the concept that we are the church. Church is beyond the building, beyond the lights, beyond the stage, beyond the music, beyond the activities that you do. My experience with church, just to share a little bit with you, my first experience with church was when I was in primary school. I came from a Catholic school, so you can guess what school that was. There are a couple of Catholic schools in Singapore. And, don't flash the slide up first, yeah. So you can flash the title slide, yeah. But in those days, my primary school was in town, was in a very central location and in a very beautiful old building, beautiful church that unfortunately right now are used for parties, dinners and weddings. But I was attending the Catholic primary school, and I remember that as part of going to school, we had to go for chapel in this beautiful church building that was just, across the field from our classrooms. And the chapel was run by the Catholic sisters, so the nuns. So they wore their nun uniform or costume, whatever you want to call it. They had these big crucifix, these old nuns, and they would run the chapel services. And I will be honest with you, I was 7, 8 years old, and chapel to me was like one of the most boring things I could ever sit through. I had no clue what they were saying. I had no clue what I was doing. I just follow whatever they say I'm supposed to do. But for me, it's like, I don't know any better, right? These holy sisters, I better listen to them just in case God, just in case they know better, and if I do something wrong, God might just zap me. So I better just be an obedient girl. Church to me at that time was a set of do's and don'ts. Don't talk when not supposed to. Talk when you're supposed to. Kneel when they tell you to. Raise your hands when they tell you to. Sing this when they tell you to. Say that when they tell you to. And if they don't tell you anything, just close your eyes and pretend that you know what they're talking about. So church to me at that time was just a set of rules, of things to do and not to do. And to me in particular, because that church building was actually very, very beautiful. Beautiful stained glass and beautiful architecture. And it had this echo, in that church. Very beautiful. But for a primary school girl, that was a bit scary, like haunted house, lah. So I was scared. So I always felt like I had to whisper whenever I was in church, like, don't talk too loudly. God might wake up. Shh, don't talk too loudly. You might disturb the angels. God cannot tahan loud music or loud noises by you primary school kids. Talk very softly. Shh. So church to me must be very quiet. Must whisper. Must walk very slowly, very holy. Quiet. Holy means quiet, no? So quiet. Then very holy. Once you talk loudly, you're not holy, lah. So that was my experience when I was young. So imagine my surprise when later on in my teenage years, I didn't go to a Catholic secondary school. I went to a non-religious secondary school. And then at 15 years old, I was introduced to a Christian church who was at that time leading what they would call a revival, Holy Spirit revival. And I was brought to that church. Oh my goodness. If being holy meant being quiet, then I'm not sure at all whether that church was holy or not. It was the loudest place I've ever been to. I was introduced to loud music, loud clapping, screaming preachers, manifestations of the Holy Spirit and of demons at the altar, loud tongues, interpretation of tongues, flailing hands, and people were dancing, jumping, falling over. It was drama, okay? And I was introduced to church that was that way. And I was thinking, this is church? This is God? It was a real culture shock for me, but later on I accepted it because I'm like, well, church was never meant to be just very safe, right? If this is what they call church, then let me just figure this out. Let me just find out exactly what these people are about. I soon accepted it very quickly too because I found many friends there. I loved going to youth group. I made many, many friends. I was involved in the activities very quickly. And I'll be honest with you again. I used to think church was quiet and, you know, just a set of rules and do's and don'ts. When I became a teenager, I started going to church and I thought, just follow the crowd. If they clap, just clap. If they dance around, just dance around. If they sing these songs with their hands raised, then just follow them. Just do whatever everyone else is doing. And perhaps that is the way to God. That's what being Christian means, right? Just doing whatever the other Christians do. That's what I thought. I thought that if I would just be able to do all that the Christians are doing, perhaps God will pay attention to me. Perhaps that's the way to go to heaven. No one really explained to me, even though I know my pastors probably tried very hard, but I couldn't really relate to the sermons or the messages. But I related a lot to the music, a lot to the camps, the activities as a young person. So if you ask me in those days, what is the purpose of church? I will probably tell you something like this. Church, go there and pray, sing songs to God, feel the goosebumps, like that lor. Oh, and a lot of friends. Some of you may have heard this story before. When I was first introduced to that church, when I was 15 years old, my sister, it was my cousin who invited us, okay? So my cousin invited my sister and I to go, my younger sister. And so when my cousin invited us, I said no. Because to me, church is boring. My primary school experience of church is so super boring. No, please don't make me go to church. But my younger sister went. She's so a bit gong gong. I had that. I'm 13 years only. So she went, you know. So she went to church, to youth group on that Saturday. And she came back. That was a Saturday. On Sunday, the phone rang at home. I picked up. And it was a boy looking for my church, for my sister. And I said, you looking for who? My sister, my sister's name. I'm like, huh? How come my sister, 13 years old, no, got boy calling her already, you know? So I passed the phone to my sister. I remember I stood next to her, you know, listening to what they were talking about. And then later on, I found out that it was a boy from church who was calling her, asking if she was going to go to church on the following week, back to youth group. So when she put out the phone, I said, huh? From church, ah? She said, yeah. I said, call for what, ah? Ask whether going to church next week, lah. I said, oh, okay. So I was thinking in my mind, wow, go to church, got boys call you, one. And I said, I go with you next week. And so I did, you know. And my confession is this, when I first went to church, it was for the boys. I know all of you are very holy, okay? You're here for God, for the Holy Spirit. Oh, make me holy and pure. But for me, at that time, it was, wow, the boy quite cute, ah. Wow, the one, looking at me, ah. None of you are like that, I know. Pastor Peter has done a great job. Why are you laughing? Funny, you. So, I went to church because of boys, because of friends. And for a couple of years, I did that and I didn't really know what else there was to church, really. Most importantly, I really had no idea what God thought about church, really. I didn't even know who God was. I just did the church thing. It was really easy. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I got something out of it. But I'd really never thought about asking or checking with God. Actually, God, why do we have church? Have you ever thought about it? Like, have you ever checked with God? Like, actually, God, why do we come to church? Why do we need a service? You know, I mean, if the building cannot use for those 2 weeks, then just don't have service lah. Right? Why am I so troublesome? 10 locations, you know, logistically, what a nightmare it is or not? Why do your pastors and your leaders still take all the effort to try and have gatherings, try and keep people together, go with your family, go and worship? Why? Have you ever thought about it? Is it because the pastors got nothing better to do? Or they just want to fill their lives with activities? I mean, I want to challenge you tonight to think. I want to challenge you to think about why do we have church? As you think about that, let me just divert your attention a little bit to something that most of you will relate to. And the question would be, why do you go to school? Most of you are having holidays. On Monday, you'll be back to school, right? Some of you dread it. Some of you love it. Some of you just don't want to think about it. So why do you go to school? Do you know or not? Do you know or not? Have you ever thought about it? No? Why do you go to school? Maybe some of y'all go to school to see your friends. Maybe some of you go to school because your parents said so. You have no choice, right? You really, really have no choice. Some of you, maybe a bit more mature, you say, oh, I want to have a good education so next time I can have a good job, earn good money and buy the things that I want to buy. Well, let me enlighten you a little bit. The last I checked, when I was thinking about, why do we go to school? Why do young people go to school? So I go and check Ministry of Education website. Can you show me? Can you flash up? Ministry of Education website. Since I want to know why I go to school, I might as well check, right? With the people who invented school in Singapore, right or not? So just check the website. Like, actually, why do we need to go to school? So on the website, it tells us this. The Ministry of Education aims to help our students to discover their own talents, to make the best of these talents and realize their full potential, and to develop a passion for learning that lasts through life. We want to nurture young Singaporeans. Today I'm wearing white. I sound a bit like, you know who. We want to nurture young Singaporeans who ask questions and look for answers and who are willing to think in new ways, solve new problems, and create new opportunities for the future. And equally important, we want to help our young to build up a set of sound values so that they have the strength of character and resilience to deal with life's inevitable setbacks without being unduly discouraged, and so that they will have the willingness to work hard to achieve their dreams. I am not making this up. This is on the MOE website. Did you know that is why you go to school? Did you know that? I hope now you know. Teachers, I don't know whether you yourself maybe didn't even know why you are teaching. But students, for your information, the Ministry of Education says that is why you have to have an education. To solve life's problems, to create answers for problems. Don't create new problems. Create answers for new problems. So that you can achieve your dreams. Did you know that there is a greater purpose than just crawling out of bed every morning to go to school, to get a cert, to pass your exams? There is a greater purpose to something like education. Purpose is very important in our lives. And I've been asking you, what is the purpose of church? There are a few questions that we will always ask throughout our lives that fall under this category. Who, what, when, why, how? Right now, who, what, when, why, how? So a lot of these questions you will constantly ask throughout your life. Maybe you can flash up the slides, whoever is doing this, just follow along. I want to suggest to you that the why question is probably one of the most important questions that you will have to ask and you will continue to ask for the rest of your life. When we look at the development stages of a young person, usually when you're between like 12 to 19, one of the main questions you will ask is the who question. If you think about it, if someone asks you to go somewhere or do something, most of you will ask, who else is going? Correct or not? Then you will decide based on who else is going, whether you will go or not. Whether you will do or not. Why? Because in this development stage of your life, relationships are very important. You need a validation of who you are. You want to be accepted by your friends. That's very normal. But if you go beyond that, by the time you pass your 19, 20 years old, you will start to question why. A lot of people will start asking why. Those of you above 20, right? You know, right? You'll be asking why. I hope lah, you're beginning to ask why questions. So purpose is really important. And most of the time, we can see the purpose of something by looking at its design. So I want to focus on this tonight. Two words that you will hear me saying very often. Design, purpose. Design, purpose. Design always follows after purpose. Design always follows after purpose. Look at a car. When you look at a car, do you expect it to fly? Yes? Do you expect it to fly? Okay, jokers aside, most of you would say no. Why? Because it doesn't have wings. Logically, if you want to fly, you need to have certain things on the design of that thing to have it to fly. So we see wheels instead of wings. So when we look at wheels, we say the design of this machine is not meant for flight. It's meant for moving on land, probably from point A to point B. Okay, now I want you to turn to someone next to you and look at your neighbor's ear. Just have a look at someone's ear, okay? All right, maybe some of you may need to borrow a cotton bud after the service. All right, so I ask you a question. As you look at your neighbor's ear, do you expect your neighbor to use his or her ear to eat? Yes or no? I hope no, huh? Why? Because the ear is not designed to eat. It's just not. It's not designed to eat. It doesn't have teeth. It doesn't have saliva. It doesn't have a tongue. It doesn't have lips. It doesn't have any part of its design that is meant to eat. The purpose of the ear is for hearing. It's not meant for eating. So if you look at the ear, the design of it shows you its purpose. That is also why we have 2 ears and 1 mouth. The design of even our face organs, facial organs, we are meant to listen more than we speak. We have 2 ears, but 1 mouth. We are meant to listen more than we speak. Alright, think about that. Design always follows purpose. Okay, I want to show you something more fun. Alright, can you shoot up that first picture? No, the picture, yeah. No. Before this. Yeah, this one. Okay. Have you seen this before? Well, what do you think is the purpose of this? Shelter the ants on the road. Well, the purpose of this is some woman somewhere said, I'm very scared that I get my high heel shoes wet when it's raining, right? So I want to keep my high heel shoes dry. So I invent little umbrellas for my shoes. So the purpose is, I want to keep my shoes dry. So the design of it is, just stick an umbrella over the shoe. These Japanese inventions are. The next picture. Okay, what is the purpose of this one? Have you seen this one before? Do you know what this is for? Okay, you can't really tell, alright? Because it's a crop picture. So actually this is a woman sleeping on the train, the MRT train. So she's wearing this helmet that has a suction cup that's stuck to the window, and there's a sign written on the helmet that is written which stop she's supposed to get off. So she's in the MRT. If you are wearing this in the MRT, you can sleep, and then your head won't bounce around. And then the kind-hearted people around you will help look, and when you reach your stop, they'll wake you up and say, hey, you reached your stop already. Isn't it amazing? We should have this on MRT, right? Yeah. So the purpose of this, maybe some person who always take MRT, who maybe has to ride 1 hour, 2 hours to work every day, very tired, then the head nodding around, doing, doing, they always miss the stop. They say, aiya, I just invent this helmet lah. So they designed this helmet for the purpose of hard-working, working class who have to take the train and they can sleep on the train and yet not miss their stop. So the design follows the purpose. Okay, the last picture. Let's look at this one. I think a lot of you will need this, either in church or in school. You know what this is? Can you see or not? I know it's a bit small. Hey, the eye is fake one, okay? It's painted on or can be sticker. So it's actually your eyes are closed, but you stick the sticker of the open eye. So what's the purpose of this? To bluff your teacher or bluff your boss lah, that when you're sleeping, so that they don't know that you're sleeping, so that they think that you're still awake, your eye very big, very wide open. Huh? I think many of you want to do this, right, for either for church or for school. So whoever it is who invented this had a purpose in mind. How do I sleep on the job or sleep in class without getting discovered? Ah, I have an idea. I will design this sticker that looks like my eye is open and stick it on my eyelids so that the design fulfills its purpose. Okay, this is just some lighthearted things for you to laugh a bit. Actually, none of these inventions are really, really real. But some of you might think that it's the best thing since sliced bread. You might want to do something. You want to use it. So let's come back to church. Okay, we're talking about church. Let's come back to church. When we look and think about the word church, what comes to your mind? What comes to your mind? If I just say, describe church to me. What comes to your mind? You show the next slide with all the pictures. What comes to your mind when you think about church? Some of you may think about some of these images. Oh, okay. Some of you may think of a person holding a mic with his or her hands raised. Some of you may think of a church building with a cross on the roof. Some of you may think of Pastor Peter preaching. Some of you may think of a mission trip. I don't know. Well, all of us have a certain association when it comes to church. So these things are only part of the design of church. And the design of church needs to point us to its purpose. All of us here, I'll tell you this, if you do not capture the purpose of church as soon as possible, church eventually will become irrelevant, meaningless, and something that you probably will not want in your life very soon. If you do not capture the essence and the purpose of church, the God-given purpose of church, after a while, many of its activities will lose its impact and its power and its relevance to your life. So today I want to really just drive into this point. Design always follows purpose. What is the purpose of church? I want to share with you this scripture, which is basic, and I believe that most of you should know this scripture. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. If you flash it on the screen, I would like to invite us to read this together. Can you see the words? Can I? All right, let's read this together. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. Go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. These are the last words of Jesus before he ascended to heaven in the presence of all his disciples. You know, the last words of a person are most of the time one of the most important words that a person would say. So we should pay attention to them. So Jesus, after spending 30 years or so here on earth and going through some amazing, amazing events in his life, performing the amazing miracles and going as far as being crucified on the cross, dying and then rising from the dead, okay? He went through all of that, and then now there's a point of time before he ascends to heaven in bodily form right in front of his disciples, and he tells his disciples these words. And just in case we are unsure, Jesus, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the head of the church. So these are the words of the head of the church. Ephesians 5:23 says this, "For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the savior." So this is the instructions of the head of church. He is the leader, the boss, the guy who is in charge. So we better listen to his words, right? If we say we are the church, then we better figure out what does the head of the church say that we, as a church, that we're supposed to do. So the head of the church tells his disciples this 3 points in Matthew chapter 28. He says, firstly, go and make disciples of all nations. Not rocket science. It's all in that verse. You can flash it up. Matthew chapter 28. If you can just keep the verse up, it will help. Number one, go and make disciples of all nations. Number two, he says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And number three, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Three simple instructions that Jesus gave to the disciples, his last words before he ascended to heaven. Three important instructions for the church that was present that day. To me, it is very simple. This is the purpose of the church. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them and teach them to obey everything that Jesus has taught. Sometimes we complicate church. We make it so complicated. We just make it just so unnecessarily complex. When Jesus said it in two sentences, 3 points. Make disciples of all nations, baptize them, and teach them. That is why we are all here. That is why when you sit there and your pastors tell you, you are the church, then you're saying, okay, so I'm the church, then now what? What am I supposed to do? Why am I here? So you're telling me I'm the church, and then? Well, and then? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them, and teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded you. Sounds very easy, right? Not? Purpose. This is the purpose of the church. Tonight, I hope that you will catch the vision that the head of the church, Jesus Christ, has for each one of us. His mandate, his commission, his purpose for you and me, for the world. So if this is the purpose, let's ask ourselves this question. Does the design of church as we know it, like say for example here in Coos Youth, you are church, right? You gather as a service, church service. Whatever you do, the design of things, the design of the service, the design of your cell groups, the design of your activities, the design of your leadership training, whatever it is, does it show the purpose? Does it lead to the purpose that Jesus has for you? So that means if someone doesn't know the purpose of church, a non-Christian, a backslided Christian, a lukewarm Christian, or someone like me last time, totally uneducated in the Christian life, looks at the activities of Coos or Coos Youth, would they be able to even guess what the purpose of church is? Or would they think, like I used to think, church is just music law, preaching law, go and do community service law, like that. Or go and meet boys law, meet girls law, like that. Community club, see who more handsome, more pretty, break up, patch back, like that. Would they be able to tell the purpose of church as God meant it to be through the activities and the design of church? I want to throw this question out to each one of you. This is not just the responsibility of the pastors. If you say that you are the church, then you are responsible for this as well. So, if I were to ask you, what is church? Describe church in your own words. What would you say? And would what you say, if you told this to Jesus, okay, if Jesus stands before you and he's the head of the church, right? And he's not scary, he just says, hey, what do you think is the church is for? And then you answer in your own words. Do you think that he'll say, yeah, true, that's true, good job? Or he will say I think you might like to rethink about that. I want to use a chapter, a passage of scripture to explain to you design of church that points to the rightful purpose of the way that church is meant to be. In Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47, it says this. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This passage is sometimes said to be the birth of the New Testament church, the early church. So why would people look at this and say, hey, this was like the start of church? Let's look at some of its features, okay? This describes its features. In verse 42, it describes that the people were devoted to being taught by the apostles. They were devoted to fellowship. They celebrated communion. They prayed. They experienced God's power. They met needs. And they were always together. They shared life, verse 46, and verse 47 it says, the group just kept growing. These were the features, the characteristics, or, as I would say it, the design of church that caused people to say this was the birth of the early church. The design of the church, of this church, for some reason, caused people to say, hey, the design of this church shows us its purpose. It kind of matches with Matthew chapter 28, the instructions of Jesus before he left, before he ascended to heaven. And the things that you're doing right now points us to the purpose. The activities that the early church is doing, which is the list of these nine or ten points, points us to its purpose. Just like you will look at a car and say that this car is meant to move from point A to point B on ground. Why? Because it has wheels, not wings. It's not meant to fly. It's meant to move on the ground. So I look at its design and I say its purpose is to move. Same thing. I look at the design of this group of people in Acts chapter 2 and I say, I think when I look at the activities that they do, I can roughly tell, yeah, they are doing all this because they are reaching out to people and they are kind of baptizing people as well, and then, you know, then the teaching and all that, and they're teaching them how to live the way Jesus taught them, and then the group just kept going, growing. It just kept multiplying on its own. In Acts chapter 2, the apostle Peter was preaching about Jesus, telling people about Jesus. There was great power shown, and people's hearts were convicted. In modern terms, we would call it like an evangelistic service. The apostle Peter was like having an evangelistic service, but the main thing here is this. There was no flyers, no brochures, no publicity video, no big names, no concert. Just an honest telling of who Jesus is, accompanied by signs of his power. And it says that the Holy Spirit moved powerfully in the hearts of the people. And in that evangelistic service, 3,000 people gave their hearts to Jesus. No hype, just a display of the power of God. Just imagine what that scene would have looked like. You see, evangelism is part of the design of church to meet the purpose of discipling nations. If people don't even take the first step to accept Jesus, how could they be discipled? Evangelism is part of the discipling journey. You got to get people past the door first, right? You got to get them into having faith in Jesus Christ first. Why do we have to talk about Jesus all the time? Why you keep asking me to evangelize? Why you keep asking me to share about Jesus? It's not meant to torture us. It's not an activity that Pastor Peter puts into your life to torture you. It's part of fulfilling the purpose of Jesus Christ for the church. Evangelism, for example, is part of the purpose of the church. Many take steps to be disciples and be baptized after they hear the good news and experience the power of Jesus. That's part of the purpose of church. Then what happens next? Then we see that after that, 3,000 to 4,000 people are saying, okay, now I believe in Jesus, what's next? They get baptized, okay? Then after that, what's next? They are taught. They are taught the commands and the words of Jesus. They are taught to live the way that Jesus taught us, exactly as what Matthew chapter 28 says. Commanding them, teaching them to live out what I have commanded you to. So the activities of church are designed to meet the purpose of Matthew chapter 28. The design of this Acts 2 account of the early church, if you look at it, it completely aligns with the purpose of Matthew chapter 28, the instructions of Jesus. Every part of the church in that day were designed to meet the purpose. And then we see that in verse 47, it says that the church began to grow. As the leaders of the church in those days focused on the purpose of the church, which is disciple all nations, baptize them, teach them to obey what Jesus has taught. So they designed the activities, which is the fellowship, the meeting of needs, the communion, the prayer, the teaching. They designed all the activities around the purpose, and then they saw the fruit. The effects of all that was the church kept growing. What about the church now? And when I talk about the church, I'm not talking just about Church of Our Savior, okay? I'm just talking about the general state of the church, of Christians and churches in Singapore and around the world. Can we honestly say that that is us as well? Can we honestly say that, yes, we are true to the mission and purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ, and all our activities are designed around the purpose that Jesus has for the church? Or have we perhaps lost our way somewhere where we have been caught up by the design and forgot about the purpose? We have been caught up by the activities but forgot to ask ourselves, actually, why do we do this? We have been caught up with keeping up with others, but we have been afraid to ask ourselves honestly, God, is this what you've called us to do? Cell groups, outreach programs, mission trips, services, Bible study classes, baptism services, all these things, they are not bad. They're good. They're all part of the design of the church. But we need to start to ask ourselves, what is its purpose? Why are you here? Why are you sitting in this service every Saturday? Why are you doing what you do in church? There must be a greater purpose, right? There must be something more than just coming here to look at the cute guy or the pretty girl. Or some of you may say, no, I seriously want to seek God. Okay, great. Then push it a little further. What is the purpose of that? I want to challenge you to think through that properly. Especially for those of you who've been in church for a while. Consider this. Just go back to Matthew chapter 28 and say, God, really, teach me, bring me back to the essence of your command for the church. What does that mean to my life? What does that mean to my life? All the activities, all the design of church must point us back to the purpose of the church that Jesus had thought of, the vision that he had for his church. So I shared with you at the beginning of my message about my early experiences with church, especially in that church where there was loud music and there was all this, you know, supernatural activity, and I was very, very used to that. All the music and all the friends and all the activities were great for a couple of years, but after a while, I began to feel a great dissatisfaction in my heart. However, there was one thing about that church that always moved me. And till this day, I'm seeing the impact of that part of that church in my life in a very positive way. And the main thing that impacted me in that church when I was 15 years old is through a man called Uncle Johnny. I only remember him as Uncle Johnny. I want to tell you about Uncle Johnny. Uncle Johnny was a missionary. And once a month, he will be asked to share in the Sunday service about what he was doing in the mission field. He lives in Singapore, but he went out on very regular short-term trips all around the region, usually Indonesia and Malaysia and other exotic places. Uncle Johnny always told these incredible stories about his adventures. I always look forward to Uncle Johnny sharing in the service. Like, he would tell us how someone had a terrible injury, and when they prayed, because the doctor couldn't get there on time, and they would pray, and this person would get miraculously healed. He would tell us all the people that would respond to the altar call when he gave a call for salvation to believe in Jesus for the first time. He would show us pictures of children and grown men crying with their hands raised after hearing about Jesus for the first time. And he will show us pictures of him baptizing all these people in this muddy river, somewhere in a jungle somewhere. And he will show us these pictures. He will show us pictures of grass huts that was the so-called church buildings in the tribes that live in the jungle, somewhere in Malaysia and Indonesia. There will be pictures of him just holding a Bible, preaching his heart out. I always look forward to his stories. And I guess now I know why. Because in those days when I went to church, there was something unsatisfying about the form and the design of church that I experienced. But Uncle Johnny's stories awakened a fire in my heart and gave me a glimpse of the purpose of church. And that is, it's not about what happens in this building. It's not just about whether the music's good, or whether the sermon's funny, or whether we've enough training, or whether things are done well. I mean, all these things are important. But his stories ignited something in my heart that says, there is something more than what I'm seeing here. There are people out there who are waiting to hear about Jesus. And Uncle Johnny, to this day, continues to be a missionary. Continues to do what he does, sometimes in different ways, but I will never forget, as a 15, 16 rebellious young girl, listening to Uncle Johnny tell me and show me and share with me about the purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ. Why do we do church? What are we supposed to do as the Church of Jesus Christ? What is the purpose? I caught the purpose of church through Uncle Johnny's stories. What about you? Have you ever thought about it? If you have, that's great. If you haven't, I hope that you start thinking about it tonight. Some of my most precious memories of church is also here in Coos as a youth ministry, where I remember when we used to go out and reach out to the community, and I know that some of you still do that. We would serve the community. We would go for mission trips. People would be starting prayer groups, cell groups in schools. When young people get serious about the Bible and start to want to live out its commandments, I mean, those are precious. And those add to the purpose of the Church of Jesus. Michael W. Smith is a famous Christian songwriter, worship leader, and he said this, I think if the church did what they were supposed to do, we wouldn't have anyone sleeping on the streets. That really moves me. Because I say, yeah, I've had experiences of church when I was younger, when I had no clue that there were actually homeless or needy people in Singapore because I was too consumed with my own needs. And it was only much later that the Lord showed me and taught me, hey, Jen, the purpose of my church, the purpose of you being church, is not so that you can be comfortable in this room that you're sitting in, but so that you can go and disciple nations, baptize them and tell them about who I am. In the past year, I have stepped out of working in a church environment. I was in full-time pastoral ministry. I was a pastor for about 14 years, 13 to 14 years. But just in the past year, 2015, I have spent the past 10 months or so in the marketplace, where most of you are. You're in schools, you're in offices, that's where most of you are. And it's funny that we say this as though there's a separation between marketplace and church, as though this is church and outside, it's not. But I've learned that that's not true. It is church everywhere that I am. As long as I'm there, the church is there. I've been in the marketplace helping people in tremendous need. I was sharing with someone recently, you know, as a pastor for 10 over years, I thought I've seen it all. I thought I've seen some of the worst things that can happen to people, you know. Some of the worst down and out circumstances I've seen before, lah. You tell me I've seen it. But once I left the church environment, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I was so humbled and deeply shocked as well by the state of the people who don't know Jesus and the incredible need that is beyond the church walls. It has truly humbled me, broken my heart, and caused me to say, God, I want to be responsible for being your church. I want to be able to say, let me be true to your mission, to go and disciple nations, to baptize them, and to tell them who you are, what you say you are, who you say you are. You know, I see many people who, just that split second, they just needed to know that there is hope. And I sit there and I'm like, what hope can I give to you? And so there are many times I don't know what to say. I finish the meeting, I go back to my room and I pray. We pray with our team, our staff team, and we say, this is the situation. I don't know how it's going to turn around. And we pray, we say, God, you just turn it around. And the next thing I know, the following day, we meet up with the people again and they just have a miraculous turnaround. Don't ask me how. I just have experienced the power of God in a way I have never done in my 20 over years as a Christian. Wow. God's teaching me something too. I became a Christian when I was 15. I'm 40 now. And I'm just only beginning to learn. I'm only beginning to learn the power of Jesus and His Holy Spirit in places where it counts. In this place, many of you are seated here. You are a powerful force in society and in Singapore. Don't shortchange yourself. There are much greater things that God has called you to do. There is a great mission that all of us have been called to, not just in Singapore, but even to the nations. We need to rise up. We need to begin to say, God, teach me. It's not going to change tomorrow, okay? But I'm just saying that you need to begin to allow God to speak to you, to move your heart, to give you a bigger vision than just church every Saturday, than just memorizing Bible because someone asked you to do it, and never once asking, why am I doing this, God? I can guarantee you, as you seek God, if you ask God honestly with an open heart and spirit to teach you and to convict you, He will do that through His Holy Spirit. At a tender age of 15, when I listened to Uncle Johnny's stories, I would never imagine that 25 years later, I would still be deeply impacted. So never underestimate the day of small beginnings. And I believe that as you have been in course and been committed to whatever it is that you're committed to, I believe that God has seen your faithfulness. But I challenge you today to allow God to bring you back to His purpose for you and the church. What is your purpose? What is your design? Whatever it is, find out and follow Him. I pray that the days of Acts 2 will not just be a pleasant historical memory, but will be very, very real and true right here in Coos Youth. I pray that worship, prayer, missions, the teaching of the word, the leadership development, the community service, the feeding of the poor, whatever it is that you are doing, all these design, all these activities will point to the purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ, and not just to build up a physical church that no one knows why we're here. I pray that the Holy Spirit will begin to speak deep down to your heart, and you will begin to listen to His still, small voice. E.M. Bounds is a very wise author, and I'll end off with this quote. He said this, "What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men and women whom the Holy Spirit can use, men and women of prayer, men and women mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men and women. He does not come on machinery, but on men and women. He does not just anoint plants, but men and women of prayer." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you will set ablaze in this place. Set ablaze hearts in this place with your love, Jesus Christ. With your love, the love that you have for us and for your church, God, set us ablaze. God, for the flames that have been flickering or may have been blown out, God, I pray for a setting ablaze of hearts in this place tonight. I pray, God, that we would see and catch the vision of your church. That we would stop playing church and we would recognize that your Holy Spirit is not meant to just anoint plants and machinery, but to anoint hearts of prayer and devotion and worship whose hearts are pointed towards you, Jesus. I pray, God, that every person here in this room tonight will begin to see your church in a new light. Father, would you give us the eyes of the Spirit to see and to catch the vision of your church. I pray that the Holy Spirit will inspire you and motivate you to know your authority in Jesus to disciple nations and to baptize them and to teach them to obey everything that Jesus has taught you to. Father, I want to pray for every student in this place. I pray that every student will begin to see his or her place in school. The purpose of being in school, the purpose of having an education, the purpose of the life stage at this moment. Father, I pray that you will just inspire our hearts that wherever we are and wherever we are going and whatever we are doing, God, it will point us to who you are. It will point others to who you are. And most of all, God, I pray, God, that you will come and dismantle all man-made deception and misunderstandings and lies about the church. And God, would you restore this church, this group, this assembly to its rightful place, a place of prayer, a place of devotion, a place of power of the Holy Spirit, God. And you will cause mighty men and women of prayer to arise from this place that will have deep impact for generations to come. Father, I pray that you will refresh our minds and renew our minds. And you begin to teach us, God. Teach us what church really means. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Then I invite you just to stand where you are. And as we close tonight, I just want to give us an opportunity to respond. This is my guess. My guess is none of this is new that you're hearing. You may have heard it preached a million times. What is going to be different is your response to His Word. What's going to make a difference between just an ordinary service, an ordinary message, an ordinary Saturday night is your response to His Word. And I'm just wondering if there are any of you, as I've been speaking, the Holy Spirit's been stirring your heart and you are saying, I want to start to take this seriously. I don't want to be playing church anymore. And I want to ask myself, everything that I'm doing, is it pointing to the God-given purpose of church that Jesus has told His disciples? And if you're saying that I'm willing to be challenged, I'm willing to step out of the boat, I'm willing to just go beyond myself and say, God, tell me, teach me what the purpose is, what my purpose is. I would like to give you a chance to respond. Just step out of your seats and come to the front. We have a time of prayer. We'll have a time of consecration. No hype, okay? No hype. And please, this is not, it's got nothing to do with how good it makes me look, okay? It's okay even if there's none of you coming up or one of you coming up. It's totally okay. Don't feel embarrassed for me. I'm more concerned about your response to God. If tonight you're saying, I really want to take this seriously, this church thing, it's no longer just going to be activities for me. It's going to mean something much deeper. I don't know exactly what it is, but I'm not going to be satisfied with playing church anymore. I'm going to get serious about some of these things that God's been speaking to me about. I want to invite you just to come to the front as we worship, as we sing. Let's just do that.
To see.
Father, I pray, raise up men and women of prayer in this place tonight, God. Raise up men and women of prayer in this place tonight, God. Yes, Father. Yes, God, that you would call and you would beckon those who are saying that I am the church. I am your church, Jesus. I am the church. And wherever I go, where there is no church, there shall be one because I'm there. Because I represent the kingdom of heaven everywhere I go. And my mission is to disciple nations and to baptize them and to teach them everything that you have taught us, Jesus. It will be accompanied by manifestations of your power. It will be accompanied by hearts turning to you. It will be accompanied by hearts that are softened towards you. There will be needs that will be met. And it will no longer just be an inward looking church, but it will truly be a representation of who you are. A God of love, a God of hope, and a God of power. Father, I pray for every young person whose hearts have responded to you, God. And I ask, God, that you would set a blaze in their hearts tonight. And the flame will not stop burning. And it will only grow more intense. And whatever they have heard tonight, God, they may not see a change tomorrow or the day after. But God, even 10 years, 20 years, 30 years later, God, they will look back and they'll say, there was something about the Holy Spirit that He spoke to my heart that one night. And my life will never be the same. And my life will be fully devoted to the mission of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. May this youth ministry, may this church, may you and I, God, all of us together, continue to spread the fame of your name and to see many hearts turn back to you, God. Thank you, Father. We just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll hand it over to Pastor Peter. Those of you who are in the front, just stay where you are. Just come by and I'll just bless each of you.
This week we have been probably bombarded with a lot of the info about the needs of our country. But our trust is in the Lord. You know that He's raising up righteous men and women who will serve this nation. And not just the government, but I think He's raising up the church to be able to stand in the gap and to serve this nation in the way that will demonstrate His love. So why don't you just press in for a minute more, right? Where you are standing, just begin to intercede on behalf of this nation. Intercede also for ourselves. That we'll be the church, we'll be the answer, we'll be the people who bring the needs of this nation to the Lord. We'll be people who will, as we intercede, the God will also give us the answers. And we'll be the answers to a generation that is aging, to a generation that is lacking in the truth. So why don't we just take that right now, wherever you are. Just take a minute to begin to pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just want to declare over your people, Lord, your purpose over their lives, God. And church, I just ask that you come with open hearts to receive. You know, even as Pastor Jen was speaking, I just sense the Lord reminding us really of what's going on in this nation. Because really, out of all the needs that we are facing as a nation, the challenges that we are facing in a time of insecurities, even over the next 50 years, that potentially can be very challenging, with needs that even our government at times do not have the perfect answer to. I believe the Lord is even stirring in our hearts today, and pointing back to the words that Pastor Jen has said. He's looking not just for methods. He's not looking for even policies, but He's looking for people. People who are righteous. People who uphold His holy standards. Both in the government and both even right now where we are. Young people who will choose to be the church. who allow God's righteousness to permeate every part of their intellect and their desire, and will be allowing God to use them in any way that He wants. They are not too young. So the Lord declares this over you, that you are my church, you are my beautiful bride. I've called you to represent me. I called you to bring glory to my name. I have purified you, I have sanctified you, I have cleansed you with my blood. And today I send you forth. I send you forth to your schools, where you'll be trained not just in academics, but you'll be trained in your talents, your God-given talents, to use for the extension of my kingdom. You'll be trained in such a way beyond your own imagination. You take what you have been given, those talents, and you multiply them for the kingdom of God. Your gifts, even those things that sometimes you have not even discovered, and even your experiences, the experiences that you might be ashamed of, I will redeem every single part of your life so that you will bring glory to my name within this church, in your schools, and in this nation, and even the nations beyond. So thank you, Lord, for your goodness over these young people, that you're calling forth this generation to shine for you. So I bless them. And I want to pray especially for those who, you know, maybe even in the past have become jaded, discouraged, or disappointed with how things are going on in the church. That you show us these are just the peripherals, but ultimately what you want us to capture is your very heartbeat, which form the purpose that you called us to be the church for. So I just pray that tonight, in this very simple way, that you plant these words as a seed in our hearts. And even in the little steps that we need to take in obedience to you, would you just guide us and lead us, O God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Shall we just give the Lord a big hand? You know, and just ask that, you know, there are, if there are people who are in the front and you still want to be prayed for, just remain where you are. The leaders also just come forward to join Pastor Jen to pray for those who are still here. And for the rest of us, you are dismissed, alright, but do not forget everything that the Lord has even just spoken over you tonight. Right, and the last thing before you go, for those of you who want to have a copy of the book that Pastor Jen is selling, just go to the counter, alright? God bless you, and I'll see you next weekend.